Speaking of our moms, happy Mother's Day once again for those online that maybe are just tuning in, and everyone in house, happy Mother's Day. We are thrilled that you made us a part of your Mother's Day celebration. And I heard a couple comments already. Why are we talking about patience on Mother's Day? I heard you. I got it. This is why, A, I couldn't have planned it, okay? This is all God's design. I just went with the flow, okay? So don't take it up with him. The other part of this is that, in all honesty, when I think of patience, and I think of someone who exemplifies it, moms, you're the ones that I think of. Because when a kid gets hurt, who do they run to? They run to mom. Why? Because dad tells them to suck it up. You guys are patient and caring enough to pick them up and nurse them back to health. The other big evidence is when I think of homeschooling. Who does all the homeschooling in a home? The mom. Do you know why? Because dads don't have patience for it. Evidence of that is that at our house, because we homeschool, every time the principal has to fill in, that'd be me, there's one thing my kids learn in that experience. They're ready for mom to come back, because it was not a pleasant experience for any of us. You guys, and you look at even in the education system, who is the vast majority of our teachers? It's all women. Why? Because God has given you ladies this divine ability to be patient in the midst of children just being children. Us guys, I'm not, and that's speaking very generally, I know. Guys, we just don't have the equal amount, right? We just, our patience ability is quite small. And so, moms, you are the perfect candidates to be talking about patience, and that's why it falls on Mother's Day. This morning, we're going to be talking about what patience looks like, why it is so important for us as believers to be patient. We are in Numbers 20. Numbers 20 is a story about Moses and the Israelites and God, and we are going to see what happens when we are impatient. And I guarantee that you are going to relate with at least one of the characters in our little story this morning. So Numbers 20, starting at verse 1. In the first month of the year, the whole community of Israel arrived in the wilderness of Zin and camped at Kadesh. While they were there, Miriam died and was buried. There was no water for the people to drink at that place, so they rebelled against Moses and Aaron. The people blamed Moses and said, "If only we had died in the Lord's presence with our brothers. Why have you brought the congregation to the Lord of the Lord's people into this wilderness to die, along with all of our livestock? Why did you make us leave Egypt and bring us here to this terrible place? This land has no grain, no figs, no grapes, no pomegranates, and no water to drink." Now, it seems like the people are complaining about Moses and Aaron. It says that they're rebelling against Moses and Aaron. But really, what the people are complaining about is they are complaining about God. The people become impatient with God. Because Moses and Aaron are just following orders. They're spending the time praying. They're spending the time seeking the Lord's direction. They are following the cloud. Moses and Aaron aren't really the problem. The problem the people have is their problem is with God. And what is their problem? Their problem is that the plan isn't playing out the way they had hoped. So a little bit of context for the story. The people had arrived at the promised land, and they're about to go in, and they send in 12 spies. And they're supposed to come back with a report of how the land is. And 10 of them come back and say, "It's impossible. It's full of giants. We felt like grasshoppers compared to these guys. Their cities are fortified. It'll never work." And in their rebellion, God punishes the people and says, "You're going to wander for 40 years. So that the generation who refused to go in, you're going to pass away. And the children you said were going to be plunder, they'll take the land." And so for 40 years, they've been wandering, waiting for their opportunity. And this generation is still lingering because they're still complaining. And it's not that their concern isn't legitimate. What's their concern? There's no food, no water. That is totally understandable for you to go to God, but it's the way they're asking. It's their heart behind the matter. And whether we want to admit it or not, we as believers often fall into this category. We want God's plan to move, but we want it to move at our speed. And not to guilt anybody, but just something for you to think about. How many of you have prayed, Jesus, can you just come back already? Jesus, I am ready for you to return so that all the chaos that I am watching can stop and we can just get to eternity where it's all good and happy. And yet, Peter tells us, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise. He's not being slow about his plan, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. We become impatient. Jesus, just come back already. But he's not being slow. God's being patient because his desire and his love is not just for the church, it's for all of his creation, all of his sons and daughters. And so he's waiting for as many as possible to repent and come back to the family of God. God is not being slow, he's being patient. And that's what the people of Israel weren't understanding. He's not being slow. His plan is playing out perfectly and as best as he has planned, because God doesn't make mistakes. It's just that we live in a microwave Instapot world where things, we want it now. The people become impatient with God, and I think if we're honest with ourselves, we relate to that impatience. Moving on in our story, verse 6, Moses and Aaron turned away from the people and went to the entrance of the tabernacle, where they fell face down on the ground, and then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord said to Moses, you and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community as the people watch. Speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock. In a way that only God can, God overlooks the impatience. He overlooks the complaining. He overlooks the whining, and he sees the problem for what it is. There's no water. And God, in his graciousness and his patience, says, you know what? Despite their attitude, despite what's going on in their heart, I'm going to meet the need. I'm going to do what they're asking me to do. God remains patient. And this is tricky, if we're honest, because sometimes it's hard to overlook the complaining. Sometimes it's hard to get past all the mess and see the root of what is going on. Because often when we have confrontation, when we have conflict, it's not that there isn't a problem. There's probably something going on. It's why there's the confrontation that's happening, but it's the attitude with which we present the confrontation. It's all the extra stuff that is going into the conversation. It's the past. It's the hurt. It's the story. There's all kinds of dynamics that come into the confrontation, and so our instinct is to react. But God doesn't have this problem. God gets past, he overlooks the wrong, he overlooks the mess, and he gets to what is the root. And the root is, there's no water. And he's going to fix that problem. And this is, we take God's patience for granted, much like his love. Because it doesn't matter how many times we drop the ball, it doesn't matter how many mistakes we know that God's still there. We read in Scripture that patience overlooks all kinds of wrongs. Oop, that's not the right verse. Okay, we'll look at it later. God remains patient in the midst of the attitude of the people. Continuing on, Numbers verse 9, this will take us to the end of the story. So Moses did what he was told. He took the staff from the place where it was kept before the Lord. Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. Listen, you rebels. "Listen, you rebels, that doesn't seem right," he shouted. "Must we bring you water from this rock?" Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with the staff, and water gushed out, so the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. Uh-oh. What was Moses supposed to do to the rock? He's supposed to speak to the rock. But he didn't. He hit it. And it didn't work the first time, so he did it again. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I'm giving them." This place was known as the Waters of Meribah, which means arguing, because there the people of Israel argued with the Lord, and he demonstrated his holiness among them. And this is where they see the problem. The people didn't have a problem with Moses and Aaron. They had a problem with God. But Moses loses it. Moses, this is the guy who all throughout the story of the wandering, he's the one who goes to God and says, "God, have mercy on these people. They're dumb. You know it, I know it, but you can't wipe them out." Right? He's been so patient. He's been so meek. He's like, "God, don't destroy them. I know you want to. I know you can, but just bear with us a little bit longer. They'll figure it out." And then we get to this point and Moses has had enough. Instead of, "Come here, people of God," he's like, "You rebels, you scoundrels." He has had it. And he takes the staff and you just see Moses. He is white knuckling it, two hands, and he's going to take it out on this poor rock. And he cracks that thing the first time. And everyone's like, "Whoo." It didn't work the first time, so he cracked it a second time. And out comes the water. Amazing thing about this story. Despite Moses' frustration, despite him acting improperly, God still moves. Good news that when it's God's plan, even though we have a tendency to mess it up, God still moves. God still finds ways to do what he can do to provide for the people that he loves. And in this moment, despite Moses' anger, he still provides the water. But because of his impatience, there's consequences. Moses acts improperly, and he is now going to miss out on the promised land. This land that he has been aimlessly wandering for 40 years, he's going to get to see it. But he's not going to go into it. How many times have you acted impatiently with consequences? How many times have you lost it because you wanted results now, or things weren't going the way you thought, and in your impatience you acted rashly, you acted hastily, and the result was you look back and like, oops. Much like Moses, when we act in our impatience, bad things happen. It may not be immediately, it may not be right away, but eventually there's consequences to it. There's a financial cost, but more importantly, oftentimes when we act impatiently, there's a relational cost. There's things said that we can't take back. How many times have you said something like, "Get back in there"? In our impatience, we can really cause some problems. Moses acts impatiently, and there's consequences. When we read through Scripture, as we're looking at the stories and we're looking at the different things that are happening, what patience really comes down to is patience is connected to development. Let me help you. Let me unpack this for you. This morning, as you're getting ready for church, how many of us got impatient with somebody because they weren't getting out the door as quickly as you had hoped? Right? The development was they were not ready, they're supposed to be ready, and they're not ready. We are becoming impatient because things are not developing the way we had hoped. Maybe the development we're talking about has to do with our marriage. We thought as a couple we would be at a certain spot. We thought that things would have developed at this point, but it's not where we want it to be. Maybe it's business. Maybe it's yourself. I was thinking about this as I was thinking about it. I get so impatient with myself every time I try to exercise and get healthy because I don't see results as quickly as I want, or because I have a moment of weakness, or with my luck, there's some kind of pastor's retreat, and you know, we don't eat healthy at those things. And everything gets derailed, and because I don't have more self-control, I give up. And you probably fall into any number of categories, but you think that yourself or your relationship or something in life should be at a certain point. It should have developed to a certain degree, and it hasn't. And so now you're becoming impatient. You're becoming impatient with the person, and this impatience manifests itself as anger, as conflict, as a grudge, as unforgiveness. Impatience takes many forms, but it's at the root of so much of the frustration that we often feel. And yet, as we read through Scripture, it talks about how we as God's people are called to be patient. Romans 2:4, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that His kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? As you go through Scripture, patience and kindness go hand in hand. In 1 Corinthians 13, it said that love is patient and kind. It's no coincidence that when Paul lists off the fruit of the Spirit, next week we're talking about kindness. Prepare yourself. I know it's been so much fun lately. But God's patience is not designed to give you permission to sin, is not to give you permission to act in a way that is inappropriate, but God's kindness and patience is meant to turn us. It's intended to encourage us to stop doing the things that are contrary to His character. Proverbs 19:11, sensible people control their temper, aka sensible people are patient. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. We often think that it's by love that we overlook wrongs, but it's actually through patience that we overlook. It's patience that we see that the person that we're frustrated with is not developing as we think they should, and so we're willing to overlook it knowing that God is doing something. Sensible people are patient. Ephesians 4:2, Paul talking about the church, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. And this is what it comes down to. Every relationship, we need to be patient because the understanding is that God, just as we need patience as we are not developing spiritually as we should, because we all have setbacks, and we take for granted that if we're not where we think we should be, God's being patient with us. We also need to trust that God is doing a work in the other person as well. And God is working in all of us. Whether you are a believer or not, God is continuing to do good things. He's continuing to seek your heart. He is continuing to mold you and develop you. But in the church, we get so frustrated because somebody's been attending church for so long, they should be at this point in their walk, and they're not. And so we become impatient. We become frustrated. Why aren't you growing? When really, we need to be looking in the mirror asking that question, why aren't you growing? Our patience comes from the fact that as God is patient with us and is doing a good work and going to take it to perfection, we need to be patient with one another, knowing that God is doing the same thing in their life. And just because they're not where you think you should be, just remember that you're not where God thinks you should be. We're all on a journey. We're all growing. We're all going at our own pace. But God never stops doing what only He can do. So how do we put this divine patience into practice? And on your discussion guide, I gave you a memory verse, because memory verses are not just for kids. Adults need to be doing this too. And this is a verse that I come back to often, because I don't know if you know this, I have a short temper at times. And I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. Be patient with me, okay? But anyways, James chapter 1, verse 19. This is what it says. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. James telling the church, get this right. Remember this. Put this into practice. Understand this. You must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Be quick to listen. One of the biggest problems in our society is that we are not quick to listen. And listening is very different than hearing. Hearing is, I am listening, but I, you know, the average conversation gets interrupted every 8 seconds. I'm really glad you don't do that to me when I'm preaching, because that would draw everything out a lot. The average conversation, 8 seconds. What that tells me is that we're not really listening to what's being said. We're just hearing it and processing what we want to say next, and then we need to interject before we forget. We're not listening. We're just hearing. Listening requires you to turn off your brain. I know, ladies, that I get it. I say that, guys are like, ladies, I know your hair, brain's going 100. I get it, okay? But we need to listen to the words. But more importantly, not just listen to the words, we need to listen to what the emotion, we need to listen to what is happening. Read between the lines. We need to develop the ability to really listen to what's going on, because sometimes the person we're talking to is talking with so much passion and so much emotion that it distracts us from what's really going on. Be quick to listen. Slow to speak, and this is the wait your turn. Let the person get out what they need to get out fully. Slow to speak doesn't mean they just stop talking and you interject. Slow to speak is you wait until you fully understand what the other person is saying. You ask questions, you engage, so you capture the emotion, you capture the details, you really listen. And once you fully grasp what they are saying and what they are trying to communicate, then it's your turn. Slow to speak is not wait your turn. Slow to speak is wait till you understand what has been said before you start sharing how you feel and what you're going through. Be slow to speak, and then be slow to anger. It is not a coincidence that Moses uses these words to describe God. In Numbers 14, 18, he says that God is unfailing, his love is unfailing, and he is slow to anger. When we practice patience, we are embodying this characteristic of who God is. And part of being patient is being slow to anger, just as our Heavenly Father is slow to anger. And it goes in this order. And often if we follow this process enough, anger isn't even a problem, because it's taken too long, all the emotions have kind of died down. The problem is when you see interactions in our society, they have the order reversed. We hear something and we react with anger and frustration and offense and whatever it is. There is the reaction and then there's the speaking, and no one's ever actually heard what's actually being said or why it's being said. The world has this backwards. They react, they speak, and nobody listens. God says you need to be countercultural. You need to listen, fully listen, then speak. And if you have the time, the energy, the wherewithal, if the emotion's still there, then be angry. Because anger isn't necessarily a bad thing. Anger is your body telling you that something is wrong and it needs to be dealt with. The problem is we get angry too fast. God calls us to be patient. Be quick to listen. Close your mouth and listen. Slow to speak. And I'm going to say even slower to get angry. Why? Because human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So church, be patient. It's just that easy. Be patient. Just turn on that switch. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that James 1:19 gets soaked into our hearts and into our minds, because, God, we are called to this divine patience that is only possible because your Holy Spirit dwells within us. As you are slow to anger, as your patience allows you to overlook so many of our wrongs, God, may our patience do the same. May your patience in us help us to do as James says, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. And God, that patience would not just be a characteristic, but it would become a lifestyle. Your word says that a wise person says little and thought to be a fool instead of opening his mouth and proving it right. So God, in your wisdom in us and in your patience in us, help us to open our ears, to really listen to what is going on, and then speak. And God, give us this divine ability to keep our anger at bay unless it is absolutely necessary. Father, I pray a blessing on our mothers. May your Spirit pour out on them. God, we thank you for their influence, for what they do in our lives, the impact that they are. And may they have a richly blessed year this year for all that they do. God, we give you all our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.